there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And happy Memorial Day weekend to you, Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer. We are here working. We are just working hard on a holiday weekend because we are here to deliver another live show for your enjoyment, whether you need it or not. Bill is actually even under the weather. As I speak right now, he is doing a shot of cough syrup. And no, he doesn't have it. Well, actually, it may be a drinking problem. No, I think he really does have some issues, some medical issues. But he made it in anyway to perform for another edition of
Scuba Radio.
They should
make more liquor that's this flavor.
You think?
Yeah, black cherry is an underutilized liqueur flavoring.
So you like this?
No, I hate it.
Oh, okay.
Golly.
Well, maybe that's why we don't have it as an offering too much.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so anyway, Bill's slightly under the weather, but he's still a trooper, showed up.
You know, I wish I felt worse. It's not that I feel badly. It's the most annoying cold I've ever had in my entire life.
So you just sound that way, is what you're saying.
I sound like that mostly, though.
Okay.
A little nasally.
Slightly nasally.
It's pretty common.
Yeah, well, it's fine. And it has nothing to do with your coverage. Well, I mean, maybe it does. The fact that we let him out of the studio last week to attend the rebreather for him, and see, this is what happens. He comes back the next weekend and sick.
This was
my concern all along.
This is why
I don't ever let you go on trips, because when we put you out in the general population, oh, you're like a germ magnet. You know? So, you know, all these times you thought I've been slighting you, and here I was just looking out for your well-being.
I appreciate you looking out for me like that, Greg. That's very, very kind.
So, we did let him out of the studio last week, though, and we went to the Rebreather 3 Forum, hung out there, had a fun show, learned a lot of stuff. I'll tell you what, that little convention had more information in some of those seminars they gave out than I've seen in many shows that I've went to, or much more information, interesting information, cutting-edge information as far as diving physiology and things like that. Kind of technical stuff, but very, very fascinating. And we're going to, you know, decipher some more of this stuff, or, after I've digested some of this, we're going to cover some more of these issues that popped up at the Rebreather conference on the next few editions of Scuba Radio, including one on thermal protection. And I missed this presentation, Bill.
Well, that seems problematic.
Well, they had like three breakout rooms going at once, so you had to take your pick of which seminar you're going to go to. Now, there's one from Dr. Neil Pollack from Divers Alert Network.
Right.
And he gave a presentation on thermal protection. And I happened to run into him after he gave the presentation.
Had he peed
introduced.
Himself?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I thought maybe it was about. And I've been, I've been there, done that. I kind of know that whole story.
Yeah, that's not as hard as you're making it think, Doc.
You would think. But no, there was more to it. And we were introduced after he gave the presentation. I apologize and said I didn't make your particular seminar.
Said, no problem. Place was packed anyway. Screw you.
Exactly. So we spoke a little bit, and I said, yeah, I know it was about thermal protection and that kind of thing. What are some things I should know? Because I said I was just in California, and I did one of my first cold water dives, and I wore this new heated rash guard under my wetsuit.
He said, worst thing you could possibly do.
Actually, he kind of did. In so many words, Bill, were you there? Were you
I was
standing
not,
there?
But, oh, but I could see that one coming. I could see that one coming.
No, it wasn't the worst thing he did. He said, though, and I would have never even, you know, thought this at any point ever in my diving career, that when you're heated, your tissues, your organs, your bloodstream absorb gas quicker.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and evidently...
Apparently he did.
If you're heated, if you're warmer, you're going to absorb this stuff down. And we're going to get into this in a few weeks. I'm actually going to have him on the show. But just an interesting little tidbit. He made that comment to me, and I said, well, that's interesting. I said, so you're saying when I was wearing this thing and trying to warm myself up, he goes, it's not terrible. He said, but if you're going to use something like that, it's better to go cold first when you're loading up your tissues with nitrogen. You know, you're under pressure, you're absorbing that nitrogen, you're better to be in a cooler place or feel cooler, because that's when it's loading up. If it's slower, you're going to absorb less nitrogen. Okay, I'm trying to put this, you know, conversation as
simple. Are you suggesting to me he said it to you in a more complicated way and you understood it?
Correct. I am. You know, I'm a dive instructor, believe it or not. And
I
so
understand.
Trying to dumb this down to... To a level that you can digest, Bill.
I understand.
You know,
I'm with you.
But he said you're better off.
So bottom line is, don't pee on yourself until halfway through.
Well, that's what I said. I said, so you're saying I got to hold it? He goes, yes, I would recommend holding it for an extended period of time. And then you got two benefits. One is, once it comes through, it's really going to come through.
Yeah.
And that release is going to be like, oh, yeah, baby. So he can... He almost did it like that, too. It was kind of strange, a little awkward. Turned a few heads. But it was an interesting theory that I would have never thought. And so he was saying, if you're going to use one of those heated wetsuit things, you know, don't turn it on until halfway or towards the end of the dive. And then when you're coming back up and you're off-gassing because you're under less pressure, it's good to be warm because you want your tissues to work faster. Okay? So, you know, it sounds... Interesting. It sounds like an interesting theory, and this all relates to like decompression sickness and that kind of thing. You want to minimize those risks. Now, let's keep this in perspective too, because these elements, the risks are so low, it's like fraction of a fraction of a fraction. So don't think this is going, oh my God, I got to change all my diving. You know.
Right, but if you want to do it as efficiently and to maximize what we know about human physiology and diving and rebreather diving, it would make sense to know what's best.
Yeah. Well, and this doesn't apply to rebreather diving. This applies to any diving.
All diving.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and I would imagine that the effects are muted with rebreather diving.
I don't know. I mean, you'd be warmer because you're breathing warm, moist air, so you have a tendency to get less cold. But
I thought there was less gas absorption with rebreather diving. I thought that was one of the benefits, is that you have less nitrogen absorption.
Well, yes. Yeah, it's true.
So if we're talking about fractions of fractions, now we're talking of fractions of a smaller beginning number.
Right. But, you know, we'll get into more of this when we have Dr. Pollack
on the
show.
That's why you used the word muted. I'll explain to you what it means later.
Yeah, okay. But, it was interesting. Stuff. That was just one little tidbit. We saw all these other different manufacturers that are making rebreathers. I got an interesting email here, Bill. You made quite the stir.
I made the stir.
You know, the people noticed that Bill
that
was out
and
of,
about.
Out amongst the general population.
Well, you know what? I must tell you that is because of Roz. And it was a little embarrassing.
What do you mean?
Well, if you listened to last week's show, you heard that in an effort for her to, I don't know what she was trying to prove or what have you, but we arm wrestled during the show.
Oh, this is true. I remember this.
Well, then, every time I saw her for the balance of the weekend, if I saw her, she would look for the nearest flat surface, push everything off of it, as if we were about to do it right there on that flat surface, and she challenged me to another arm wrestling match. I am happy to say I won a majority of them.
A majority of them.
A majority
correct.
Of them.
Yes.
But I think it caused something of a spectacle when, you know, you're sitting there having lunch in the restaurant and a crazy woman comes and just pushes all the plates and dishes off your table so that she can kneel down and arm wrestle
somebody.
I'm
like, bring out your video cameras. Here we go.
Yeah, I think it was quite the issue there. And although it was very nice to see Roz, I think she caused an issue.
So basically what you're saying, you did not appreciate her upper body strength.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay, just want to clarify.
Yeah.
But Roz isn't the only one who was surprised to see you there at the Rebreather Forum. Doug emailed us. He works with a couple of the companies that were exhibiting. Anytime you and Bill want to leave the studio, we can put Bill live on the air with a Rebreather experience at our shop in Lakeland, Florida. Of course, any and all mermaids would be welcome, too. We're only about an hour away from you. The Quick Kiss Rebreather. That was the worst for that. Doug, thank you for that. And I don't know if we can allow Bill out, but maybe we can bring the mermaids over there and do it. You think?
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Dude, an ancient sunken city.
Could it possibly be? Are the old legends true? It is. It's the fabled lost city of Atlanta.
Howdy, y'all.
I take you to my island, show you lots of good, good time. I take you around the world and be proud that you are mine. I buy you lots of things, buy you lots of diamond rings. And anything you want, that's why I have to sing. Into Ilucha, oh yeah. Into Inagua, Benetti, into Long Island. All around the Grand Bahama, and Walker's Key.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer. Yeah, we got to get out to the Bahamas here. I need a break. After all this traveling, we need more. Don't we, Bill? You had a little taste of getting out of the studio.
I think I would like it someplace that wasn't in the same town I'm in.
Yeah, and it was like 10 below in the conference.
Center. It was pretty cool inside.
Yeah. They need to have an event outside, out amongst the stars, where you can soak up that warm Florida sun. Actually, we're going to talk about just such an event coming up later on in the big show. However, first, we have Big Wave Dave from the Be a Diver Pool on Scuba Radio right now. Dave, how are you? Happy Memorial Day.
Hey, great to you, Greg. Man, it's a great weekend. It's a great summer. The dive season started.
It is. You know, it's like the kickoff to the dive season for a lot of folks across the U.S. today, isn't it? I mean, just like boating.
That's right.
You know, they get out there,
yep.
Even for the Florida folks. I mean, we don't really have a cold season per se, but, you know, the warm water is finally here in Florida, too. And warm water wusses like me can go out there and know that it's going to be in the upper 70s and feel good about getting out there, maybe in a 3 mil or nothing at all.
Hey, that's the best type of warm water. You know, we got quarries here. I got the store I used to work at's got about 20 people doing their open water in advanced class this weekend in a quarry that, hey, when you go down deep, it's like 60 degrees, if that.
Absolutely. So where are you heading next to, Dave? Because, like, you're off this weekend, right?
Yeah, home this weekend doing that honeydew list because the busy summer's coming, and I'll be all over the U.S. with the Be a Diver pool. Coming up, I'm going to be doing some dive caching next weekend down in Illinois, show people what's going on with that. And then, of course, a big in-water boat show in Chicago.
Aha, uh-huh, very nice. Now, dive caching next week, are you going to make one? Are you going to put one down, or what? What are you planning to do exactly?
Well, I'm
going to
go they've got the big DUI rally next week at Pearl Lake with about 7 dive stores and a lot of people showing up, so I'm just going to have several GPSs on hand, have some caches underwater, and show them what to do and entice them to keep on putting caches down.
Yes. Now, we're talking about putting caches down, not cash. But we could, maybe we ought to start putting cash down. What about that?
Hey,
have you ever considered that? Just throw like a $20 bill down with one of those caches in a submersible box or something and hide it. Give them a little added bonus. And now you're talking. Now you're talking about something people would go for, I think, as opposed to a little, you know, keychain trinket, which is fun in its own right. You know, you take your little... a little shark trinket or whatever it is and plug it into the internet, the little coordinates, and play your geocaching or dive caching game. What, Bill? What are you laughing at?
You seem to be underplaying it a little bit. Oh, yeah, it's nice when you play your little games, but if there was some money...
People doing it.
What's that?
There's people doing it all over the U.S., and, you know, it's a great way to keep people local diving. And hey, people have got stuff planted in resorts. I know some stuff down in Cayman Islands and also in Bonaire.
I'll tell you what, we're going to need those people that know how to use GPS and compasses when the zombies attack.
Well, excuse
me? But, hey, you know, the dive caching, again, come on out. If you need to find more about it, you can go to beadiver.com, click on the dive caching link, see how to place yours down. We've got videos and everything. You know, it's all self-learning.
Yeah.
But the Be a Diver Tour, you know, keep in mind, we're going to be in Chicago in 2 weeks. But after that, I'm all over the U.S. The Be a Diver Pool is the biggest program out there. DEMA supports it, of course, because where it's a DEMA program. But also the whole industry does because, you know, we're going to travel shows in New York, in Chicago. We're going to boat shows in Florida, in Chicago, in Northern California, showing people that would never walk in the dive store how easy it is to dive.
No doubt. And you know, Dave is a professional. As you just heard, when Bill made that smart-ass comment, and he just kept on going. That's a sign of a true professional.
I made the smart-ass comment. I just commented on about the faces you were making.
I'm just saying, he's a professional. He knows how to ignore this nonsense, and that's a sign of a guy who knows his stuff for sure. But you know, the Be a Diver Pool. We don't talk about this enough, really, as far as the program itself. You know, Dave takes this pool around and is the manager of this event for the DEMA organization. They set this thing up at various events across the country, and people see it. And they can, you know, one of the things is people can jump in the pool and try diving if they've never done it or they haven't done it in a while. Or even if they're a diver, they can get in there and have some fun, which is a great thing in itself. However, help me out here, Dave. The main focus of the Be a Diver pool is to draw attention to scuba diving, right? You're at these events.
Yep.
And people see it. The TV people see it. They always want to sit there and do a little live shot from the Be a Diver pool, throw their anchor in there to do something underwater. It's great TV, and it's awesome exposure for the dive industry and for the sport in general, right?
That's all I do. We're just trying to show people diving is a simple thing. We're putting it in front of their face, you know. We know that people will dive stores. A lot of stores run Discover Scuba programs, that type of thing, but that's people that are walking in their store. We're getting a guy that's just walking down the street at a fair or a boat show or a travel show that said, hey, that's kind of cool. And, you know, we get them in the dressing rooms, change them into the suits, show them how to do it, let them swim around, take an underwater photo of them. As you said, we got a lot of news crews coming out. We've got the Guardian mask that we do, an OTS that we do, live broadcast from the bottom of the pool. So it is the biggest thing out there that draws stuff to diving.
the most commonly heard expression before someone says, look, there's the Be a Diver pool, I think I want to try scuba diving, is, this is the best fried butter I've ever had. That is the most common expression stated before someone realizes that they want to have an opportunity to jump in the Be a Diver pool.
Well, maybe. I don't know if there's...
Research. That's actual research.
I don't remember seeing that survey, but but I will tell you, when people walk by these events and they see the pool set up, it turns heads. Because it looks very strange to see a huge pool set up in the middle of an event at a convention center or outdoor event.
And nobody's throwing beanbags at a target.
Okay.
It's a great crossover, you know, for your all your flyers on your flying show.
Exactly.
You know,
just
I mean,
plain radio.
It started actually at an air show in Wisconsin. So
that's
right. We're doing all kinds of shows. Coming up soon, we've got New York City, Salt Lake City, San Diego, Pleasanton, California, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Norwalk, Connecticut, Tampa, and a lot of places in between.
Yeah, and what people don't know is that when Dave takes these reporters and sets up a live shot for like a local TV crew or something, if they don't say something positive about diving, he shuts off their air supply. So
don't tell me my trick. Tell me my trick.
Okay. But see, I mean, there's a lot of great exposure they get with the Be a Diver pool.
There's also some very good side action on whether or not the reporter survives.
True.
Everybody survives, you know. And that's the whole thing. Surviving is all about, speaking of surviving, you know, it is Memorial Day weekend. And one thing that DEMA and the Be a Diver pool does is we strongly support the Wounded Warrior and dive programs of everybody out there that's teaching wounded vets to dive.
It's great stuff. BeADiver.com. Go there. Check out Big Wave Dave's schedule. And go out there and say hi. Try diving. Turn your friends onto it. It's all good. More coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, Bill, the producer, Memorial Day weekend.
And we just were talking with Big Wave Dave about the Wounded Warrior program.
Yes.
And the dive shops around the country that help support wounded warriors, getting them into the water, getting them to enjoy the sport we love, diving.
Yeah, absolutely.
But whenever I've ever given a donation for anything, and I donate a lot of my time and some of my money, to a lot of organizations, and they always say, thank you very much, we appreciate it, and I always say it's the least I could do. But it turns out there's a leaster way you can help.
Really?
Really.
Now you got my attention.
There's an even a less effort sort of way that you can help the Wounded Warrior
program. How's that?
No money and practically no time. I was in my local Cracker Barrel, and I saw this message outside of the Cracker Barrel. If you go on Facebook, now this is not a Foursquare thing, it's a Facebook thing.
Okay.
If you go on Facebook and make your status be that you are at Cracker Barrel, they will donate $1 to the Wounded Warrior Program. You need to use that little pinpoint thing that's at the bottom on the Facebook status. But you say you're at Cracker Barrel. They're not checking to see if you're a Cracker Barrel. They're essentially paying $1 per mention for advertising on Facebook for Cracker Barrel.
All right, what, you mean like that little check-in thing where it says where you're at?
Yes.
Okay, so you go to the Cracker Barrel and you check in.
No, you don't go to the Cracker Barrel.
You don't even have to do that.
You go to your status, you type in, and this is what I've been doing for my status for the past week once I found out, because it's only May 21st to May 28th. On your status, I actually have, on my status, I type in, true fact, if you list as your status that you are at, and it's going to be that blue color at, Cracker Barrel,
mm-hmm.
Those details are all trackable.
Okay.
And when you do that, they're going to donate $1 per check-in to the Wounded Warrior Program between now and the 28th of May.
Well, that's nice. And do you get a free appetizer or anything?
Yeah, nothing like that. You get nothing out of it, but you do very little. And you get the pleasure of knowing that you helped support the Wounded Warrior Program.
Well, and that's a good program. I can do that. All right, look, we got a Dan tip coming up. And then for Memorial Day weekend, skincare and you, what to do. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 256. Octopus have been known to eat crabs. That being said, it is not advisable to stuff one into your board shorts in a misguided effort to alleviate that surprise gift you got from your last lover. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, the CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What's on your mind today, Nick?
Diving with medical issues, Greg.
We're going to be here for a while, aren't we?
Why do you say that?
There are a lot of medical issues out there.
Well, that's true. And if you went through them all one by one, yes, it would take ages. But as far as a safety tip for diving with medical issues is concerned, it comes down to three little words.
Don't do it.
What's my status right now? Nope. It's tell the truth.
Ah, as in tell the truth about any medical condition you may have?
Exactly.
Are you saying folks lie about having medical conditions, Nick?
Well, we'd like to believe they don't, but yes, we've known it to happen a time or two.
So why is it so important to tell the truth?
Well, setting aside the whole legal aspect of it, which I'm not going to get into here, but being honest about any medical condition you have can have repercussions on your safety.
You mean in case something goes wrong?
That, and being able to incorporate any necessary adaptations into your initial dive plan, which hopefully will help to avoid problems in the first place. But if something were to go wrong, and you need medical assistance, the more accurate the information your care providers have, the better able they are to treat you.
Okay, but I know divers who are afraid they won't be allowed to dive if they admit they're less than perfectly healthy.
I understand that. But that's really old school thinking. We know a lot more about diving physiology and diving medicine, and we've learned a lot in the last decade or so, and we're still learning more every day. Medical conditions that used to mean automatic preclusion or exclusion from diving don't necessarily mean that anymore.
Like diabetes.
Like diabetes. It used to be that if you admitted to having diabetes, you were automatically done, out of the water, finito. But now, we've learned so much about diabetes and diving and how the two interact that it's just not necessarily the case anymore.
What about dive operators who won't let you dive if you check a yes on the medical form? I mean, I know divers that have done everything right and are still refused a spot on the boat because of a medical condition.
You have to understand that dive operators have liability issues to consider. But again, I'm not getting into legalities today. At the end of the day, each operator has the last word in how to run their own business. What I recommend, and I'm trying to advocate, is taking a work-as-a-team approach.
How so?
To begin, start by being proactive and considerate. A great way to approach this is to call the dive operator ahead of time and find out what kind of documentation they might need in order to have your yes turn into a non-exclusion. When you are able to collect that documentation, and that might mean seeing your doctor and sending them down information or documentation that supports your physical ability to dive safely, they're likely to say yes to you diving. It's much better to know that information before you get on the plane and go down there than it is on the first day of the trip.
So what if you're not sure whether your medical condition will keep you out of the water?
Talk to your doctor about it. If you're concerned that your doctor is not a diving medical specialist, your doctor is welcome to call Dan and ask for particular guidance and support. If we don't know, we also have a pool of referral specialists that we can use as additional clinical resources both for us and your physician. Remember that the medical community is not out to keep you from diving. We're out to make sure that you dive safely.
So what's the bottom line here, Nick?
If you have a medical condition, be honest about it. Lying about it or trying to hide it in your medical forms can lead to serious problems. The folks leading your dives or running your dive trips need to know if there are special considerations that are pertinent to you that they need to know about.
Because being honest in this situation really can impact your safety.
And that's the truth.
If you're a diver living with a medical condition, it doesn't necessarily mean your diving days are done. But it does mean you need to be honest about it. For your own safety and the safety of those around you, if you're asked, tell the truth. Do that and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
It is Memorial Day weekend here with your friends Greg the Dive Master and Bill the Producer. And you know, if we aren't two testimonials for why you should always use sunscreen, I can't think of two other people who would be better candidates for
that. How about that guy from Powder?
Poster Boys. Huh?
The guy from Powder?
Maybe slightly. But I don't know. We'd give him a run for his money, wouldn't we?
I think we probably would.
Maybe. Dan Orr is on Scuba Radio right now. Dan, how are you, buddy?
It's great, Greg. How about you?
I'm good. So tropicalseas.com is a website to go to get information about reef-safe sun care products, because this stuff is awesome, and I'm guessing this is probably one of the biggest weekends of the year for you. Is that fair to say, Dan, or no?
It certainly kicks off the summer, and we've been shipping reef-safe all over the United States for the last 2 months, so they're geared up, ready to put it on.
Absolutely. Now, the thing about reef-safe is that, obviously, it protects yourself from the sun. You got to put this stuff on so you don't get the skin cancer. You keep yourself from burning to a crisp while you're trying to catch lobster like me. It's better really not to look like a lobster when you're trying to catch a lobster. You know what I'm saying? And ReefSafe can help in that regard. And once again, you go to tropicalseas.com. But I know you've been traveling, getting ready for the summer season, promoting ReefSafe and that kind of thing lately. And you just set up a new thing with Marineland. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that works out great. We've got our liter bottles up there at Marineland for the guests and the staff. And we helped them out with their lionfish exhibit by donating some big bamboo for it. And look forward to working with them.
No, wait. Just donated some big bamboo for it. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
For the grill.
Yeah, for the,
oh.
Yeah, for the grill.
Is that it?
For the lionfish exhibit.
Oh, okay. All right.
They've redid the park, re-renovated it up there. I guess it's been under reconstruction and renovation for a little bit over the last year since Georgia Aquarium purchased them.
Right.
Last January.
Okay, yeah. Marineland, for those people who don't know, I believe was like the first real aquarium park in the U.S., wasn't it? Am I wrong with that?
Yeah. What? No.
Yeah, and I remember we went and did a show there probably about, what, 7-8 years ago. You think, Bill, maybe about that?
I think that sounds about right.
And I was amazed. They actually allowed us to dive in one of the tanks. It's been in operation for years and years and years. Now, it was old. It was run down. But they were trying to do, you know, get the place renovated. But they had more critters in this tank than any other tank I've ever seen anywhere. It was an impressive display of animals in a very small space. And, obviously there's a downside to that, too. But, they've been trying to revitalize that area for some time. So it sounds like they're finally back on track. And that's kind of what you witnessed when you were over there?
Yeah, it's looking great. And they've got all kinds of great programs for summer sea camp for kids. And they're supposed to be adding some for adults, too.
Excellent. Well, we may have to go over there and do some stuff. Obviously, they're making some good choices by stocking the place with Reef Safe, because if you're going to slather on that sunscreen, you want to make it good for the critters that we share the ocean with as well. And that's what that product is all about. I mean, I can't emphasize it enough. There's some real issues out there, Dan. Even with all the new regulations coming down on sun care products, you don't hear the government coming down on sun care companies and the oil slick that they're leaving, in the water. It's all about other issues when it comes to protecting ourselves. But this stuff can really hurt the marine life when it lingers in the underwater environment, right?
Absolutely. And that's ReefSafe does not leave the oil slick. It's stays on our skin. So it's good for our skin and good for the ocean.
That's right. And it's like all, I don't know if it's like all natural materials, but it's like, what's the right word there? Or is it?
Well, there's a lot of botanicals and plant and vegetable-derived ingredients in it, and a lot of carbon-based, which is what helps it biodegrade.
There you go. And the bottom line is, though, it also works. It smells good. You know, I've used it on quite a few things. They have the biodegradable wetsuit wash stuff. I just gave my suit a wash last week that was starting to stink up pretty good because I didn't rinse it properly. And I got to tell you, that stuff worked really well. I swished my rash guard around a bit, and 15 minutes later, as good as new. So it's good stuff and good for the environment, too. Hats off to you, Dan.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. That'll do, once again, tropicalseas.com. Go there. Check it out. Coming up next, we got a dive report from Cozumel.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg, the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer, and in walks CJ, my dive student from days gone by. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. I'm doing a long surface interval, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, well, we'll get him wet eventually, and then we'll get him diving too. Hey, thank you.
What?
Hello.
I don't, huh?
And, what? It's Memorial Day weekend. We can make those kind of references.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's your show.
Yeah. Yeah. For now. But anyway, you know, we got a lot of stuff we're going to delve into in hour two. And actually, there's some dive industry dirty laundry that we're gonna rustle around with or something. I don't know what the hell's going on with some issues some dive operators down in South Florida are having, but we're gonna try to get to the bottom of it and address it in a way and see if we can get to the bottom of why there seems to be a group of people trying to undermine a potential dive event, like a dive festival, adventure festival in South Florida. So we're going to try to delve into that in hour two. Stick around for that. It could get testy, CJ.
Okay.
Yeah, it might get. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see and find out what the problem is. But in the meantime, let's kind of run through a few things that are going on in the next few weeks or now that you may want to take note of as a scuba diver. One of them is Explore Ventures, the official live aboard company of Scuba Radio.
Officially
celebrates their 25th anniversary this week. So congratulations to those folks, Clay and the gang at Explore Ventures. And don't forget, you can join us October 6th for the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Divers Alert Network, the Scuba Cowboy, myself. We got a couple mermaids along for the ride. It's going to be quite an event in October on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Liveaboard.
And in 25 years, they have far surpassed the White Star Line's performance with the Titanic.
This
that
is
was 100
true.
Years ago, and yeah. Here it is. In just 25 years, they have delivered far more passengers safely than the captain and crew
and,
of the
and 75% more of the fun.
But yeah, has Celine Dion ever written a song about him?
Actually, no.
But Linda Chorney did make videos.
And the Scuba Cowboys working on one,
okay.
too.
Okay.
And I'm sure it'll be at least as big as that that hit. What's
that
her
craptacular?
Name? Yeah.
No, that top-notch organization, the one and only live aboard I've ever been on. But
Scott.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Also, June 9th, Saturday, June 9th, go swimming with pigs. And I'm not talking about an overweight diver.
Oh, there we are.
Staniel Key, our friends there at Staniel Key Divers in the Bahamas, are doing a lionfish tournament. We can go down there and spear lionfish.
Are they trying to make pigs hungry for lionfish? Is that part of the goal here?
You know, that would be an interesting little experiment.
Teach these damn pigs, it'll go out and
they've taught them to swim
for cheese whiz.
The pigs, they got pigs on this island that literally go out and greet the divers on the boat. It is freaky. Yeah, if you've never heard about this, you got to go to Staniel Key in the Bahamas and check this out. And maybe June 9th you go over there for the lionfish tournament. And then do a little side trip over to see the swimming pigs. I'm not joking. They really
swim.
Those
of us that have dove with Greg are used to diving with a ham.
Hello.
Hey.
So. Greg used to be a ham, but then he was cured.
Oh!
Oh, boy. It just doesn't get any better.
So it gets
way worse, trust me.
What do you do with the lionfish there?
You stab, and then they turn them into lionfish nuggets.
And you fillet them.
They
awesome.
Fillet them up. You know, it takes about 10 lionfish to create a meal. So they're usually,
it's good to get rid of them, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they're very tasty. The meat they get out
them?
Of those things. I have, actually.
Cool.
We'd like 10 years from now to be complaining about how overfished the lionfish population
yeah.
is. That's what we'd really
so what
be hoping
for. What do they taste
for.
Like?
They taste like...
like grilled grouper?
Fish nugget.
Grilled lion. No, I don't... I mean, they're a meaty fish, more like a mahi type
okay.
of...
Awesome.
It doesn't have a fishy taste to it.
I love
they're,
that.
They're actually very very good. So I encourage you to try it, and then you help the environment in the meantime because these lionfish aren't supposed to be there.
If I was down there, I'd do it.
Yeah,
is that open to just open water divers or?
Yeah, I'm sure you just go over there, call up
sharp
Staniel Key divers.
Can
Staniel
you stab
Key.
With a dive knife, or do you have to have like a spear?
I would suggest a spear. The dive knife, they might poke you with one of those tentacles, and that could
well,
be
depending on how long.
I put a heart on
is.
You. Well, maybe.
That's not
really
nice.
Because those that I've seen, man, they don't really move too much. They just kind of hang there, and you could easily just...
Now that's a knife.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, they can put a hurting on you, though. You don't want to
You don't want to be...
Yeah, you don't want to accidentally rub up against one of them puppies. So a long pole
but
spear
But it's nothing
type
like trying
thing.
To catch a lobster.
No,
that's
nothing.
That's actually a challenge.
Honestly, I've not speared a lionfish yet. That's something I have to kind of mark off my list. I want to do this.
That would
this.
Be fun to do.
Yeah. So maybe we are going to
I can see Greg in underwater camouflage gear, laying over the top of the reef, sighting down the length of his spear gun.
Just like Elmer Fudd. Yeah, what a lion.
I know you're in there, Wabbit.
Come out, what a lionfish.
We're hunting lionfish.
Well, I got to tell you, it's something that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to work that out eventually. And I've played spotter. I've played lionfish spotter for someone else who was shooting the lionfish, but I haven't done it myself.
Shooting.
Yeah, that's what you would do. You would shoot them.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, shoot a lion. Hey, you know, that even sounds more impressive to the chicks. Like, when I'm out shooting lion.
Fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Fish.
So, you know, you could use this to your advantage if you're trying to impress
the bigs. Like an underwater
the
safari.
Yeah, it could. Exactly.
Ooh. Marlon Perkins.
I kind of like this. We might have a new little angle we could work. Maybe we do that. A Lionfish Safari.
Greg, the Lionfish Land. You got to change your name.
Nice. All right. Hour two is on deck. Stay close. Don't go anywhere. We have quite a bit of, I don't know, an interesting little topic coming up in hour two. So don't go anywhere. That's coming up shortly.
You know how to wail here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we didn't look here. Now we can fuck you under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.